said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome, everyone, to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. I'm Karen Watts, also known as Karen at PetOfTheDay.com, where, you know, if you have a pet chicken, you can nominate it for Pet of the Day. Uh-huh. And we have Country Joe himself, Joe Barber.
I'm right here. And we got Craig Russell.
Yes, from the... Let's see if I could get this right the first try. Craig Russell is from the Society for the Preservation of Poultry Antiquities?
That's correct.
Yay!
Or, yeah, rare chickens, my favorite. Craig, you know, I wanted to start out asking you, on the last show we were talking about those, there's only like 20 chickens left. What did you call them, eminent chickens?
Erminettes.
Erminettes, that's it. I've been looking all over. You can't even find those things. You know, I wanted to see a picture of one, the one that Glenn's got at Sand Hill Preserve. And
Sand Hill Preservation Center.
Yeah.
Seen pictures. It's one of the few chickens that still exists that I've never seen, but I've seen pictures of them. Uh-huh. I'm not quite sure how they came up with that name. It's essentially a white chicken with a few black flecks here and there, where I would have thought a Colombian or light pattern would be closer to the pattern of a true ermine, which is a weasel. But it was a local breed, had some support late 1800s, early 20th century. I knew of a few flocks as recently as the 70s, but I think the Ron Nelson flock, which Glenn at Sand Hill has procured after Ron's death, is the last flock that I know of. That doesn't mean, maybe there's somebody who, listening to the show who can call in and say, you know, I've got 612, but they're certainly an extremely rare chicken compared to what they used to be.
Uh-huh. Now, what did they use to get this chicken? Do you know or have any idea?
I don't know. Now, there was a family that Ron knew who I think maybe some of them are still around, but the older brothers were famous for their chickens, and they had Dorkings in this pattern. So it's possible it's one of the old Dorking patterns, and it was just transferred over into other chickens by people. But I really know very little of its background, which is not unusual for local breeds and varieties. It was a Midwestern chicken, although some got to the west and to the east and this sort of thing. It was never APA recognized, and there were a lot of chickens. Burpee Seed Company had a chicken that was kind of like a yellow-legged white Langshan, which supposedly was very productive, and at one time they shipped by the thousands all over the country, but now I believe extinct, and I'm trying to get the name to come to me, and it hasn't. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot of local breeds and varieties. For instance, I'm a Dorking guy. At one time, if you count the rose combs and the single combs as different breeds, or not for breeds, but as different varieties, there were more than 50 varieties of Dorkings. Now, there are only 5 varieties in the APA standard, and there are probably another 6 or 8 that still exist. But most of those, and although many of them were here in the States, most of those have disappeared, unfortunately.
Wow. That is amazing. I just ordered some more golden campines because my rooster died. And that's my other favorite one, as you know. My rooster died on my white face Spanish, so I don't have a rooster for that one either, so I've been trying to get one of those to keep my rare breeds going. But I'm still after.
I'll put you in touch with Chris Dorjak, who has done a lot of work with the Spanish. He's an ornithologist, but loves chickens. He's in Virginia, he might be able to come up with a very good male for you. But there are still a number of hatcheries that carry white-face black Spanish, and you're probably aware of some of those. I can give you a list if you're not.
Yeah, I called them. wrong time of the year to even ask.
Right.
You know, I didn't know that Burpee ever sold. I mean, as a child, I remember getting the Burpee seed catalogs, and I didn't know that they ever sold actual chickens.
They did.
Yeah, I didn't either.
That's not terribly uncommon. A lot of, now most of them sold typical chickens. There were a lot of the, well, at one time, one of the biggest distributors of chicks in the country was the Sears Company. And they actually had, it was an independent hatchery in Massachusetts, but when Sears discontinued their country catalog, the hatchery only survived a few years after that because probably 97% of their business was through Sears. But Burpees actually produced their own breed. They developed a chicken that was kind of fancy-looking but very practical. It had feathered feet and so on, which some practical farmers do not like, but it was a good layer and a nice meat chicken. And when they discontinued selling them, they pretty much disappeared. I remember when the SPPA was founded back in 1967, there were several people who wrote letters about that chicken and said, there must be a flock out there somewhere, but none ever surfaced.
Wow.
Well, so if anybody listening to this radio show knows of a flock of those Burpee chickens, definitely contact us. You know, and you know that you can always go on CountryJoesChickenShow.com to listen to the show. But if you go to AllPaws, P-A-W-S, PetTalk.com, right there on the homepage, there's a form where you can contact Joe or me or, in fact, Craig or any of our guests. I can forward the emails to them. So if you have any of these rare chickens that we're looking for or that you know of that you think, why, you know, as Craig said, you know, this guy has a flock of 600. How could you not know? Well, we don't know.
Yeah.
So definitely contact us.
Especially the Erminettes. I'd love to hear about those. You know, that's really interesting.
Yeah, and one of the things we were going to do is I have to look it up again is get Glenn Drown in contact with the archivist in the National Archives who has a lot of chicken material. Now, is something you rely on a lot, Craig?
For the most part, we rely on, to some extent, universities and things, but primarily chicken sources. When you said that, my ears perked up, and I thought, that's something I'm not aware of. Maybe we need to contact these folks.
Oh, yeah, we've had her on the show before. She's in the National Agricultural Library in Baltimore, and they have stuff that goes back to the 1500s, 1600s, I guess. She's been on the show, once, I think, right, Karen?
Yeah, we've had her on once. Well, we'll have to have her on again. And, gentlemen, we are running out of time for this segment.
Uh-huh.
And you knew I was going to say that. As soon as you get going good, I say those nasty words.
We're going to stretch these segments.
We'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Hey, pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made, and here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So, do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic. and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show. We're talking with Craig Russell from the SPPA about rare chickens. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were just talking. We found, this government agency that could probably do a lot of help for us on the old antique stuff. When we had Diane on, she's the head of it, I guess, and she was telling us about all the old advertisements and of the products and the stuff and the feed, and it just goes way back. But there is a website, Craig, that I'm going to give you later on that you can go on. You don't have a computer.
I don't, but I can get the one if it's necessary.
And besides, maybe some of the rest of our listeners would want to go on that website. So, give it to us for them.
Okay. It's called HTTP Special Collections. And it's nal.usda.gov/using-special-collections. And it's NAL Collections. And that's I went on and got it. And it shows there's a lot of old pictures there. And like I say, if that doesn't work out, I'll give you her phone number. And you ready, Craig? I'm going to give you that, but I can give you that anytime. It's
if you want to give it to me now, give me a moment to get a pen and a
Okay.
and that'll give our listeners a chance to get a piece of paper and something to write with.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, her name's Diane. I can't pronounce her last name, but it's W-U-N-S-C-H. And she's in charge of special collections at the National Agricultural Library. And like I say, it's in Baltimore, Maryland. Well, it's on Baltimore Avenue.
No, it's Beltsville.
Yeah, and the area code is 301-504-5876. So that, you can probably get on and ask her all kinds of questions I never thought of. But
we probably have just clogged her phone line for the next week.
Yeah, I maybe we should have emailed her ahead of time to warn her we were going to do this to her. But, I'm sure that because it's part of the National Archives, there are things that you and I, we throw in the recycling bin, or in years past they'd use it to light the stove with. Mm-hmm. But these papers are sometimes the only records we have of some of these old breeds other than stories that are passed along.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And of course, chickens were so much of a part of everyday life.
Yep. And she was telling us about that. Remember that, Karen? She was telling us how the acres and acres of publications they have, you know, old newspapers on chickens that have gone out, long since gone out, and handwritings from different people who bred these chickens. So there's a lot of that, Craig, a lot of, you know, breeders, farmers that hand wrote this stuff that they have.
Yeah,
and there's acres.
You're exactly right, Karen, when you say it was such a part of everyday life. Poultry in general, and chickens in particular, were really every man's livestock. They were found from the remote frontier to the big cities, farms, villages, and so on. Some of the old-timers that I knew growing up talked about, well, in Milton, Pennsylvania, everybody had chickens. And the guy I'm thinking of, Floyd Holsizer, would walk the back alleys on the way to school to see what chickens were there and, so on.
God, that's amazing. You know, and it's just getting down to, like you say, you know, just a very few breeds that are popular now, and the rest are still going by the wayside really, really fast. That's what's scary, you know.
But the good thing is a lot more people now are getting into having a small backyard flock.
And
that's where some of these rare breeds, you know, if you're just going
to
have a small flock.
Yep. And that's what I tell people. If you're going to just have chickens for pets and eggs, why not get a rare chicken? Because when it's done laying, you can still have something different to look at, and it's a lot of fun. And that's what I encourage everybody to do that now.
Yes, but not everybody has the acreage you have, Joe. Who, you know, new listeners might not know that every time Joe gets interested in a new chicken, his poor wife has to put up with Joe building a new pen.
Here we go. So I've got one all ready for my new ones coming. But I'm still after those red caps. Those are my other new fascination. But these erminettes now have caught my eye. Now, I'm going to get Glenn to send me a picture so I can at least see what they look like.
and he probably will have them available in a few years. I'm sure that he's going to need to build up his flock before he sells any. But I'm sure they will come available.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what he was saying, because, of course, it was a pretty small flock by the time he got them.
Yeah.
So he needs to, as you said, you know, you need to build up the flock. It's not like you can just send someone all your eggs from a rare breed, and just in case something happens to the ones you have.
Yeah. That makes me nervous, too, just having, you know, he has supposedly the only ones there. What if something happened? You know, wouldn't you think about dividing that flock in half or something and have somebody else raise half of that flock?
I'm sure he'll try to get some into other hands pretty quickly, but that's a pretty narrow genetic base. I would want to pretty much keep them together at least until you had a good breeding. Now, one thing is, chickens are very productive. People talk about, oh, they multiply like rabbits. Well, no, if they really multiply, they multiply like chickens. The reproductive potential of chickens far exceeds that of rabbits.
Wow. That's interesting.
Well, if you think of, you know, all those eggs you would get on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You know, with a rabbit, it takes a number of weeks.
Gosh. So anyways, that's interesting there. And on the other note, I've been trying to get a hold of these rare brown chocolate turkeys. There's a guy down here in Florida that's supposed to get a hold of me that just hatched some out. And that's my other little pet thing that I want to do. So I've been playing with this would be my first rare turkey, I guess.
And, you know, last week, Craig, we had on a gentleman from Old Sturbridge Village up in Massachusetts who has the blue slate turkeys.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And those are kind of rare, from what I understand. Yeah, they're not common. But, those are interesting, too. When I get the room, those are next on my list.
At, 100 years ago, they were common. And actually, 100 years ago, the chocolates were pretty common. What was rare were the white turkeys that now are virtually all the turkeys in the country.
Yeah, isn't that something? Wow. That's a, speaking of turkeys, I just got in a batch of turkeys, and I lost 45 of them because they spilt the water on themselves in the incubator, and I guess they got pneumonia, and they died, like, within a day.
Oh, gee.
And that's
it's
something
amazing. That, it's how quick,
that people don't know how fragile these little birds can be.
Wow, yeah, that surprised me inside of the brooder, you know. I know they got wet. I wiped them all down and everything, and, boy, they just – they were gone.
Yeah, at a young age like that, getting wet can lead to hypothermia very quickly. That's a shame, Joe.
Yeah, even though, I mean, inside the brooder was still almost 100 degrees, and they still – wow, that's surprising. That's the first time that's happened to me in 4 or 5 years that I've been raising turkeys, you know.
Well, we are running out of time for this segment, so we'll be back on hopefully a happier note than how delicate poor little turkey chicks are. We'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
You know, I wouldn't be a great chicken myself because I don't tend to prefer to eat bugs, even though I know that's quite the thing in other cultures. But
some of them are quite tasty as a wild foods instructor and survivalist.
Oh, God. Whoa.
And Joe, you're down there in Florida where you grow your bugs extra big, don't you?
They got bugs I've never even seen before. You know, when you think you've seen them all, there's a new bug. There's just millions and billions of bugs down here. These chickens have a good time with that. And
I was going to say, the chickens must have a grand time of it.
And my goose, I got a goose. I tell you, Craig, I didn't tell you, a neighbor gave me a goose. And I got a goose that runs around out here, and a big white Chinese goose. And his name is Gary. And he runs around out here eating bugs and honking and getting into all kind of mischief. But we just love him. But there's one there. He was chasing a giant grasshopper the other day, and he couldn't swallow it. And he just kept beating on it until he finally got it apart. But they get grasshoppers down here that are so big, I've never seen them before, you know. Wow. So there is a lot of bugs down here.
And, of course, if you have chickens like you do, that makes for extra tasty food for the chickens.
Yes.
And they're a great source of protein. I know that. I know, Craig, you're a survivalist teacher. You'd tell me that, I'm sure.
Okay. So is that other fella on, or do we have him?
No, I don't think Don called him. We just have Craig, so we'll be...
Craig.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead and let us know when he's in. Craig, now, do you talk about, you do poultry preservation, so does that cover turkeys as well and other fowl?
Certainly. And turkeys have undergone an amazing renaissance. If you had talked to me 15 years ago, I was lamenting the demise of so many of the old traditional varieties of naturally breeding turkeys. And there's been an amazing, both as pets and as dinner items, they certainly have come back. Joe called me the other week about broiler chickens that were 4 months old. Are they still edible? Well, you know, 50 years ago, the average chicken that went on your plate was 5 to 6 months old. Today, it's as little as 42 days old, in some cases as little as 28. And turkeys have the same situation. But if you really want turkey flavor, the old traditional naturally breeding turkeys are far superior in taste to the veal product that we're used to in the grocery stores. Chickens and turkeys are cropped so young now that they taste almost identical because they haven't developed their individual traditional tastes.
Yeah,
you know, we now have with us a gentleman, and I'm wondering if he has, his name is Paul Boudiette, and his website is eggcartons.com. And Paul, welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show.
Glad to be here.
Hey!
Now, do you have egg cartons that will hold turkey eggs?
We do.
Wow.
We have egg cartons that hold turkey eggs, and we have egg cartons that will hold goose eggs. We developed these a while back based on demand by customers.
Well, there.
Tremendous.
That's unusual. Yeah.
Nothing Gary is going to be laying much for goose eggs.
No. He's a little boy, but I didn't think there was that big of a market for goose eggs, or I never heard of one.
When you're eggcartons.com, people from all over the world contact you for things, and we had requests for goose eggs for several years before we, our niche is to fill markets that aren't there, and we finally decided to send some goose eggs that were blown out, filled them with plaster of Paris, sent them to a manufacturer and said, make us some egg cartons that'll hold six of these things, and they did, and I think we have the only goose egg carton in the world, to be honest with you.
Well, I never heard of any.
This was
it. Yeah. Wow. So what else do you have? Well, we got you here talking about rare egg cartons.
Well, one of our hottest sellers right now is a vintage carton. When I was a kid, of course, I'm 60 years old now, so when I was a kid, I remember in the refrigerator the square egg box. It was a pulp egg carton material like we have today. However, the eggs were four eggs one way, three eggs another, and very old-fashioned look. And again, we had requests weekly from people for that old-fashioned egg carton, and we couldn't find any manufacturers that made them anymore. They broke all the molds. So that's our hot. We came out with that. We now have the vintage egg carton. It is, you know, available on our website. We sell probably 1 to 1.5 million of those egg cartons a year right now.
Wow, and I do remember those eggs.
Yeah, the vintage. Some people say that when they go to a farmer's market with those, the old ladies will come up to their farmer's market stand and actually cry because it reminds them of their childhood.
Isn't that something?
We've heard that, and that's nice to hear.
Yeah, you must remember that, Craig.
We preserve the old artwork on the face of it.
Oh, wow. You remember those, Craig, don't you, with your egg group?
Yeah, and when I was still selling eggs, when I moved here to the farm, I was still able to buy those, but I haven't seen them in years. They survived at least into the early 80s some places, but I haven't seen them in years.
Right. So the only place you can find them right now for the old style is on eBay if someone has, you know, a stash of them left, and that's actually where we got what we needed to have some samples to send to our manufacturer. We found some on eBay. They were very hard to find, believe me.
Well, and I imagine because they're a paper product, you know, they're made of a paper product, they're really perishable. You know, if they get damp, never mind wet, you know, they'll be destroyed.
Hey, why don't you tell us how we can get those? Where do we go to get those? Give us your address and phone number.
Yeah, well, on the web, nearly everyone has website access, and, you know, the website is just like it sounds, eggcartons.com. Mm-hmm. We have just about every egg carton in the world on that site. And you'll find them right on our home page on the bottom right, printed vintage egg cartons. That's what they're called. However, we do have mini catalogs. We don't have a full-blown catalog anymore because the web is so dynamic, as they say. It changes daily.
Right.
Someone can call us and request or email us for a mini catalog. And just seeing that you asked, I'll just give you the email address. Would be email@eggcartons.com. Or if they call us, we do have a toll-free number.
Well, give us like that. While well, we're right here going.
Sure.
So everybody's got their pencils.
1-888-852-5340.
Okay, I'm writing that down myself.
Yeah, right, say that one more time.
That's 888-852-5340.
Okay, now what else do you carry besides egg cartons?
I'm going to interrupt you, Joe. We are running out of time for this segment.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, we'll be right back with more, and we'll get the history of eggcartons.com and all sorts of more information from Paul. And we want to thank Craig Russell for being with us this afternoon.
Sure.
We'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers, remote trainers, have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show, and now we will give him his official real introduction. We have with us Paul Boudiette, and he is from eggcartons.com. Which is exactly what it sounds like, a website that ships egg cartons of all sorts and all sorts of related supplies.
Yeah.
Paul, why don't you tell us, how did you end up starting this business?
Well, first, let me thank you for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay.
The beginning of our business was very unique and actually unexpected by us. My wife and I own a campground in Manchog, which is a very small town in Massachusetts. We're on Lake Manchog. And being a small campground, we had very little draw for people to come to us other than the water. So we had activities for children, et cetera. And we added it with a flavorful touch of a little petting zoo. And we had chickens, ducks, rabbits, alpacas, llamas, emus, you name it, over the years. And most of them just looked pretty, but the chickens laid eggs, and we wanted to sell them in our country store. Well, people would save their old egg cartons for us from the local supermarket, the last year's date on the end of the carton, broken eggshells dried up inside. We did it because there was no other way, but we wanted to sell our eggs in new egg cartons. And went to the feed stores. They said, we don't carry them. We searched everywhere. Went to Google. All we could find was how to make crafts out of egg cartons, how to use egg cartons in math class, how to recycle egg cartons, but no one was selling them. And I said, what am I doing wrong? I was beating my head against the wall trying to find egg cartons. Finally, I must have beat it pretty hard because an idea came that if I can't find them, no one else can.
All right.
I envisioned, Joe, like the old days with Lassie and Timmy in the backyard full of chickens. And
right.
I said, well, Mrs. Lockhart is looking for egg cartons on Google, just as I am, and she's getting the same results, and she's frustrated. I said, the whole country has chickens now. This was in the year 2000.
So yes.
I typed in eggcartons.com on the Internet, and it came back with the computer language error 404, which means page not found. No website. I said, I already had a website for the campground, so I said, let me look into this. So I found a manufacturer in Palmer, Massachusetts, which was only 1 hour away from me. A real find because there's only like three in the country right now.
Wow.
I contacted them and said, would you sell me egg cartons wholesale to resell? And they were like, yeah, kid, go away. We only sell trailer loads to the egg producers. And I didn't give up. I finally convinced them to sell to me. They says, okay, you got to come pick them up. We don't ship them out UPS, and you got to pay cash. We don't take credit cards. I said, okay. So I jumped in my station wagon, went down and picked up five bundles of egg cartons, came home and created a little website, eggcartons.com. I did contacted my supplier for websites, and I said, is eggcartons.com available? And they said, yes, it is. I said, sign it up. And so be in, eggcartons.com in 2000. The first year, Joe, we did 50,000 in egg cartons. I was absolutely astounded. It was took off like a rocket. The next year, $129,000 worth of business. The next year, $249,000. I said, something's happening here.
Yeah, we'll sell the campground.
I was still running the campground at the time, and I was starting to say, what should I do? Well, when we hit $1 million in volume, I talked to my wife and said, the campground's limited. This is the sky's the limit. Everyone, right. And not only that, everyone were happy to hear from us. They wanted egg cartons. We were in demand, and it just grew. Last year, we did almost 2.7 million in sales selling egg cartons. 2.3 was egg cartons alone. The rest is peripheral waterers, feeders, and egg baskets. Sure. And so forth. It just took off, and it gives me goosebumps talking about it.
It does. It would give me goosebumps.
And then we get right back into goose eggs. Now, do you sell mostly egg size cartons? Chicken egg size cartons, or
yes,
what's the
bulk?
Yes,
predominantly, the people our biggest customer is the small customer. We do not actually cater to large businesses. We cater to the person who Joe's audience is the person who has backyard chickens. That is who we love, and that's who loves us. And we have chicken egg cartons. We do have a lot of people raise ducks. We got duck egg cartons, and they raise quail. And we have, believe it or not, quail egg cartons. Talk about a miniature egg. But the chicken egg customer is our primary customer, and we've always listened to our customers. We're like Joe wants to have good listeners. Well, we're good listeners. Customers tell us what we should carry, and we listen. When they tell us that something should be modified, we listen. We give the customers what they're looking for at the best possible price, and I'm not trying to say this as an ad. It's our motto for business. We just, I got a sign on my wall in the office that says, don't wait for your ship to come in, swim out to it. So that's what we do with business.
That's good.
That's one of the things I've noticed is that the supermarket, when I see eggs in the supermarket, now there are more, one of the supermarkets near me has styrofoam cartons for 8 eggs and won't let you buy 6 eggs in the paper cartons, and it somehow bothers me that they have styrofoam cartons, because that's just, the paper cartons are biodegradable, recyclable, fun to make crafts out of if you're my kind of kid. Now, do you just sell them?
Well, I can add a little bit to that, Karen. Actually, they've done studies that they say the carbon footprint, if you want to call it, of the both egg cartons is just about equal in that styrofoam doesn't require as much fuel to make them, etc. And, you know, there are studies to prove that. However, you're going to see a few more styrofoam cartons this year than usual. One of the egg carton manufacturers we deal with, called Pactiv, in Macon, Georgia, they had the largest plant in the country. It burned to the ground. Thank God, no injuries, no fatalities. How that happened is beyond me. But they made, you know, probably about 300 or 400 million egg cartons a year of the pulp kind. So right now, the pulp industry is in a tizzy. The foam egg carton people, which is what you're talking about, had to step up and supply right now. A lot of those people. And I know some major supermarkets already had ads on their website saying that when paper cartons come back, we will go back to paper cartons because customers do demand it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and
because the pulp is made out of recycled newsprint, and it's extremely in demand by our customer.
Is it cheaper to make because it is pulp?
Well, it sounds cheaper to make, but there's a lot that goes into making an egg carton. And unfortunately, it reflects in the price of them. People say, how can an egg carton cost that much? Well, if they knew, you know, the entire cycle, it is very expensive. However, clean new egg cartons are definitely the plus. When you go to a farmer's market, you want your egg cartons to look good. You want them to appear very neat and not in a used carton. And that's
the law down here in Florida. You have to use a new carton. If you're going to sell them.
A lot of places, it is the law. It's not always enforced. However, once you get spoiled, you're spoiled. you go back to used ones.
Now, the old type that you were talking about, are they more expensive than the long, narrow ones that are out there
Slightly,
now?
Slightly, yes. And the reason is we could not find a U.S. manufacturer to make those for us. So we've had to go overseas. Therefore, we have to ship them across the ocean. And that's expensive. So adding that in, they're probably about 20% more, maybe 10 to 20% more, depending on the quantity you buy. However, if you're next to someone else at a farmer's market, you'll get the sale.
I was going to say, and it's worth that extra 20% for the little old lady who comes up with tears in her eyes seeing that egg carton.
Absolutely, Karen.
Gentlemen, we are out of time for this segment. We'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Pleasure.
I'm a
Attention all pet lovers. Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust, mites, and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's pawsandsilk.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.